Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 2 hours down, one to go, 9 to noon every single Saturday. Warriors This Week, Evan Giddings with Sam Lubman here today, kicking around a lot of trade ideas for the Warriors, trying to solve some of their late game issues and trying to just figure out again, Sam, you know, where are we at with the Warriors right now? They're 14-10. They basically got a game on Sunday amidst a week off, kind of a mini rest built in due to losing on Wednesday in the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup to the Houston Rockets. And I think it's an opportunity also to kind of reset things. You know, it's officially trade season as of tomorrow, so we're kicking around a lot of ideas and just trying to identify what this team needs right now, which appears to be the most, solving their late-game issues.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. We were talking about the Zion trade a little bit before that there. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff to get into. I feel like we got most of their thoughts out on that Zion trade, right? Or anything more we need to get on there?
I mean, if you have something else to offer, I think for me, Zion is a player, and someone brought up De'Aaron Fox, Steel Toe from San Mateo.
That's
did
right. On, that's where we're going to get into the De'Aaron
on
Fox.
The earlier side. But yeah. But before we do that, I actually want to kick it off with a call. Big Smooth has been hanging out in Oakland very patiently. I want to get to
Big Smooth.
Yes, talking about the Warriors right here. What's up, Big Smooth? What's going on?
Hey, good morning, man. Good morning. First of all, come on. Are we really doing De'Aaron Fox? Why don't we just grab the Greek Freak and come on? That's not realistic. What is realistic is stop making turnovers. Every time we lose, we can't crank up the old trade machine. That game, first of all, I'm impressed with the way the Warriors came back and just clamped down on defense. Now, obviously, you can't have 8 turnovers between just two people, Draymond and Lindsey Waters. 8 turnovers between the two of them. They look sped up, man. Pods, I'm going after. All he has to do, which is going to show on tape now, speed up Pods. Double team him on the dribble. He doesn't have a clue on how to dribble, and neither does Lindsey Waters. They look sped up. They look really sped up. And Kuminga, speed him up. If he's going to handle the ball, I would pressure those guys, and that's exactly what happened. Now, I don't even care about the call at the end of the game because it should never have come down to that. That game was won. The only thing that had to happen is stop turning the ball over. I think this team is what we should stick with. Just stop turning the ball over. And then on top of that, make a decision with Moody and Kuminga already. I mean, in all fairness to those guys, if we're going to trade them, especially Moody. You got him dangling, getting very few minutes. If you're going to trade him,
so he can go play ball, do that. But to just keep him here, and he's kind of in some purgatory, which I don't understand why. Why Pods, to me, is getting too many minutes. I know he can take a charge. I get that. He can take a good charge. What else can he do? He can get a long rebound. But he's not bringing much to the table for me anymore. I'm sorry. He's regressed in his shooting. He's regressed in his confidence. What if he regresses again? Remember, guys, this summer he was highlighted. Joe Lacob called him a future all-star.
He's untouchable.
I'm not seeing it, and I don't know. And I don't know how long we're going to keep this pot. We got a Pods problem, and I don't know if we just play through it this year. But this guy cannot. If you watch him, man, his defense is very lackluster. He can't even hit. He's missing layups now. I think that's more of an issue for me than everybody wants to ship off Kuminga. We're not going to talk about Pods? Because remember, he was untouchable in the summer. Why?
Yeah.
Why is Pods untouchable? I don't know.
I like a lot of what you're saying.
Big, have a great day.
Wait, hold on. Big Smooth, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I got a question for you.
What's up?
Are you going to be at a Laughing Monk Brewing next Friday morning from 6 to 10 a.m. for the Doobie Awards? You
no,
are, you
sir.
Do know that you are up for an award this year, right?
You're kidding me, right?
Yeah, you, myself, Bonte, and Shasky, we are making up the mispronunciation category of all the missaid names
somebody
that we've done.
Somebody should have told me, man.
So, yeah, are you going to be able to get down there next Friday morning for the Doobie Awards?
Hey, let's do it.
Awesome, man. Big Smooth will be there 6 to 10 in the morning, December 20th, Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. The Morning Roast 3rd Annual Doobie Awards. Big Smooth is going to be there. We got 75 people who have already RSVP'd to be there. We would love to have everyone, as many people there as possible. That's next Friday, this coming Friday, the 20th, Laughing Monk Brewing, 6 to 10 a.m. Go to 957thegame.com to RSVP. Evan, there's free food and drinks. I mean, what else do you really need to convince people to get down there? I mean, we're going to be there too, but there's also going to be the free food and drinks. So let's talk about Big Smooth's call there. A lot.
You done?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot to I got to do the impromptu read there.
No, I'm going to clear out. No, yeah. Plug as much as you want here.
Yeah, no. So let's unpack that Big Smooth call there, because he does make some good points about just not turning the ball over. I do think if you don't turn the ball over, you will win more basketball games. That goes without saying. But yeah, the De'Aaron Fox thing, it feels like a fun dream. I don't see that happening for a litany of reasons. Number one, for me personally, I don't see the Kings trading De'Aaron Fox, not just within the conference, not just within the division, but within the same 90-minute drive. I don't see the Kings doing that right off the bat. And then, I mean, could De'Aaron Fox and Steph Curry as a backcourt, how would that work defensively even? So those are the first two things that pop up to my head when it comes to a De'Aaron Fox trade.
Well, first of all, so Big Smooth wants, and I think a lot of people want, less turnovers for the Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Pods plays.
Yeah.
He played 30 minutes against the Houston Rockets. They had 22 turnovers. Podziemski had one. I don't think he's shot the ball very well at all this year. I don't think he's proved himself to be an untouchable player or a future all-star. But he plays because they can't take care of the ball. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why. If you wouldn't like Pods to play, then you're going to have to find someone else on this team or outside that takes care of the ball better than he does. Because now that you don't have Melton, you essentially have three guys that initiate the offense on this team. Curry's one of them. Draymond Green is one of them, and Podziemski is the third. Draymond Green had 5 turnovers on Wednesday. Steph Curry only had 1, but he's known to be turnover
prone.
Turnovers
have always been a massive part of his game. Yeah.
I mean, you could also say the 24-second shot clock violation, those are team turnovers, but he was the guy with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
So that's why he played, at least in my opinion. I also don't think he's untradeable. But the reason why Kuminga is involved in every single trade talk is because he's the better player. Like, that's the reason why people want him. Over the summer, I think people have come around to Podziemski and basically looked at him as a nice piece and someone that can improve, but he's not the player with the potential, obviously, that Kuminga has. So that's the reason why he's involved in trade talk.
What do you see as the ceiling for Brandon Podziemski?
I mean, look, best case scenario for Brandon Podziemski, and I think they're different. They're actually, they're drastically different. They play kind of different positions. To me, if Pajemski could somehow turn into a Mike Conley, I think that would be the best case scenario for his career. And I don't think Mike Conley's ever made an All-Star game, but he's one of the best players to never make an All-Star game, which is a point guard that shoots it well, can score, distribute the ball, you know, is not the greatest defender because of his size, but is serviceable and has always contributed to winning basketball. I think, like, Pods is a better rebounder than Conley is. Conley takes care of the ball better, shoots the ball better. But the Ginobili comp to me, I don't really see. I don't think Pods is near as effective of a scorer. To me, where he's going to make his hay in the league and with the Warriors this season is kind of being a backup point guard that can connect a lot of different lineups and occasionally knock down a shot.
Yeah, I agree with that too. I see him as he could be a role player on a team that could compete for a championship. That's where I see him as. He's, you know, not a starter, maybe not even the sixth man, 7th, 8th, 9th guy off the bench.
No, I apologize. But Mike Conley has made an All-Star team, 1 in 18 years.
Yeah. 2020, 2021.
But Mike Conley was also a far better defensive player than Pods is. And I don't know, potentially could be. I don't know. Like, you asked me, that's what I would love him to be.
See, if Mike Conley was a starter for most of his career, I don't know if Pods, I mean, depending on the team that he's on, like, I don't know if Pods starts on a championship caliber team. I think he's going to be off the bench for most of his career. He's a fine, like, there's nothing wrong with being that kind of player, just so we're all clear. Like, if your ceiling
is if you're going to label that player untouchable in a future All-Star.
Well, yeah, okay, there's that as well. But just as a player, you know, all things considered, like, if you are a role player who helps a team get to a title, that's a solid role to have in the NBA. Is it something that you're saying is untouchable? Yeah, then that's a little bit dicey. Like, if we could go back in time to this last summer when we were having all these Lauri Markkanen talks, would you still have wanted Pods to be untouchable? Or if you could go back in time, you know, fire up the flux capacitor at 88 miles an hour, go tell your past self, you know, would you say, you know, make that trade? Or are you still happy that the Warriors didn't punt on Pajemski for Lauri Markkanen?
I'm glad the Warriors didn't pull the trigger on that deal, but it's more so because I don't think that Lauri Markkanen is a $40 million player.
Yeah.
It's more so about the position that you would have to be in to acquire him and then pay him. Would I love to trade Pods for Lowry? Yeah, in a heartbeat. But then I'd have to pay Markkanen in excess of, you know, $180 million or whatever his extension
You probably don't
was.
Get this rise from JK this year either if Lowry's here.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true, though, because Lowry is a stretch four or a stretch five, and that creates more space. Like, again, to me, the Kuminga issue is not as much about position as it is about the lack of spacing that the Warriors have. I actually think that Markkanen would be a great fit for the Warriors. Would he average 24 and shoot 40% from three? Maybe not. But I actually think he would help this team. I just don't think he's worth the amount of money that he's making. Like, Lauri Markkanen is going to be making more money than Zion Williamson. And that's another guy we've been kicking around.
Wild thing.
Let's go to Alexander, who's out in Chicago. Wants to talk about some trade situations for the Warriors. Alexander, welcome to the program. What's going on?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me. Can y'all hear me clearly?
Yes,
we
sir.
We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Just to discuss the trade situation, I think it's a no-brainer that we need to do that trade with Brooklyn. As far as the Dennis Schroeder trade and the Cam Johnson trade. And here's why. The Warriors, we have a point guard problem right now. We don't have a point guard. So now we have to make Brandon Pods into a point guard, which is, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. Obviously, it's going to take a lot more time. And I actually think Pods plays better off the ball. You know, he can get on the ball every now and then and make some really great plays. But I think he plays very well off the ball as well. So him being like the second unit point guard would be, you know, more good for him. But right now we're just asking a lot for him to step in and be the starting point guard. That's basically what the Warriors are doing. You know, they alternate back and forth between him and Curry. And then where Curry is in his career, you know, they trying to take some pressure off him so he don't have to be on ball all the time. So Dennis Schroeder and Cam Johnson would answer that question. You know what I'm saying? And even if we could if we could figure out a way to get that trade done and still have Kuminga,
mm-hmm.
but you know, push come to shove, I think that's it's a no-brainer. There's nowhere else we can we shouldn't do a trade with Miami. We shouldn't do a trade with, you know, the Pelicans. I think we should really hone in on the Brooklyn Nets and see what we can get out of that. You know what I'm saying? And the Dennis Schroeder will solve a lot of problems because that'll give us a point guard. That'll give us a solid point guard. That could play great defense. You know what I'm saying? And he's very athletic. And then, you know, we wouldn't have to be relying on Brandon Piles at the point guard position because that's exactly what we're doing right now. So that's my take on that. I say they should go 100% in, grab Cam Johnson, get Dennis Schroeder. Don't just get Dennis Schroeder by himself, you know what I'm saying? But definitely try to figure out a way to get that Cam Johnson and Dennis Schroeder thing, like, immediately. That'll work for us, and that's all I have to say about that.
Thanks, Alexander. Yeah, I think, Sam, that the Nets rumors are the most probable. Like, they're the most realistic.
Well, the Nets have said that where everyone's on the table, we're fully open for business, so.
For the Nets?
Yeah, I thought.
Well, it's really just three. It's really three players. Actually, Cam Thomas hasn't really been involved as far as names. It's been Dennis Schroeder, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Cameron Johnson.
I feel like Ben Simmons is always in trade rumors, just if anyone wants him. But
he makes a lot of money.
Yeah, no one's gonna. I feel like the Nets want to get rid of him, but no one's gonna take him. But
yeah, I mean, he's also, well. Why you would acquire? I think he has an expiring contract this year.
He's got 1 year left, so yeah, he would be an expiring contract. But I'm not touching with
the Schroeder one. To me, is the most realistic trade that the Warriors could make, and I could see them making. And the reason being is you essentially swap expirings, De'Anthony Melton for Dennis Schroeder.
The money sinks up.
You attach a first round pick, which I personally would not want to give up for Schroeder, but you can add a player without losing a player, and you don't gut your roster. You can improve it. That one I do think is realistic. The Cameron Johnson one to me is, I think in a vacuum, Johnson's a perfect player, right? And that's why everyone wants him.
Yeah.
He's under contract for 2 more years. I don't even know if he makes $20 million during those seasons.
He has $22 million this year. And then let me pull up his full contract while you vamp.
So the point is that he's a good three-point shooter. He's a solid defender. He's a wing. He's what you want. And he's young. And he's in his prime. That's also why, to me, he is going to be far too expensive for the Warriors to actually acquire. Is the Nets just traded Mikal Bridges for an insane haul. Cameron Johnson is not as good as Bridges, in my opinion. But that means that they'll probably want multiple first-round picks for a player like that. I don't think the Warriors would give that up. I don't think the Warriors should give that up. Because Cameron Johnson, to me, does not change drastically the trajectory of your season to warrant multiple first-round picks for a team that might need those if something happens to Curry or Draymond or both.
Yeah. So Cam Johnson, really quick, contract-wise, $23 million this year, $21 million next year in his age 29 season, and then the 2026-27 season in his age 30 season, he'll be making $23 million, and then he's a free agent after that year.
Yeah,
so
that's a great contract.
So yeah, you'll get 2 more years of him at a very competitive rate for a guy who is right now averaging 18 points a night for the Brooklyn Nets, playing 32 minutes a night. So, yeah, it would be good, but how many of these draft picks are you willing to part with? You know, you look at the draft assets the Warriors have. They got their own first-round pick this year. They got their own first-round picks for the next 5 years, all the way to the 2029 season. And then they got a couple Hawks second-rounders in the 26 and 28 season. So
who?
The Hawks.
They got you're saying the Warriors.
The Warriors do, yes.
The Warriors only have 3 first-round picks available to trade. You cannot trade back-to-back years.
Yes, But they have their first-round picks. They have their first-round picks in 25, 26, 27, 28, 29 that they can trade from. Obviously, they can't trade them back-to-back. So, yes, there's a combination that they would have to work with. I don't know. It's how far into the future you could, you know, move some of these picks like that. That'd be a great trade, but it's just,
but if you're
would you want to torpedo the future potentially for an extra 18 points a night?
But if you're another team, I want first round picks further away from now. And if I'm the Warriors, there's no chance in hell I'm giving those up. Like, I think the only first round pick they're committed to, which is top 20 protected, is the Wizards, that they attach with Chris Paul.
That's in 2030.
Or they attach with Jordan Poole to get Chris Paul last offseason.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only pick that they're married to. They have the rest of them. I'm keeping those, especially beyond 2030 when you don't know how long Curry's going to be here. And especially, it's not... Curry's probably going to be retired at that point. I'm not giving up any future first-round pick that involves me not having Curry at a good level or even on this roster or in the league.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, because those are going to be very, very high in the lottery draft picks. So.
But if I'm another team, those are the only first-round picks that I want. So that's, to me, where the rock and hard place comes into play for the Warriors. And the reason why, 510, please explain why draft pick for Schroeder, why not just straight player swap? I agree. That's from the Comcast Business Text Line.
Ideally, yes, it would be a straight player.
But there are reports out there that the Nets are looking to acquire a first-round pick for Dennis Schroeder. Now, it could be lightly protected, a la the one that they owe the Wizards in 2030. But still, I'm not willing to gamble on a future first. I think the Warriors are going to need them as their superstars get even older.
I would maybe if we're in these negotiations and if I were to kind of give ground on one of these first, maybe, you know, one of these first in the next couple of years, but that's what I would offer up. But a big part of this, and this is why I think Mike Dunleavy said trades are hard, you know, the Nets have to say yes to it too. And a Warriors first round pick this year or next year is very likely not going to be in the lottery if you believe in the Warriors being a playoff team. And so you're looking at, you know, a pick that's going to be as high as 15, 16. It could be in the 20s. So I don't know how much value these next couple years of draft picks have. If I'm the Warriors, if I could try to unload one of those, I would. Like their first round pick this next year, I would. With the Nets, I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you, Evan. The first round picks I would give up, I don't think the Nets would take. The first round picks the Nets would take, I don't think I would give up. So, and I feel like that kind of kills a lot of momentum on a Dennis Schroeder trade. Unless you're just feeling really desperate for this year, but Dennis Schroeder is not a we're feeling desperate, this gets us to where we need to go kind of move. This is a, he helps us a little bit, but I don't think he takes the Warriors from, like I said at the top of the show, a good team all the way into the level of elite NBA title contending team just by adding him on.
But if your biggest concern is closing games in the final 5 minutes off, like your offense in the final 5 minutes is your biggest concern in a half court set, Dennis Schroeder does help you there. So maybe that is not the key to getting you to a championship, but solving what plagues you, which could get you a top 4-6 seed, which gives you a chance, and then you let it roll. The other reason that picks are going to become increasingly more valuable, like let's say you go out and you get a big name and you're looking to acquire money, you need cheap labor to fill out your roster. And I would prefer that cheap labor is not just a bunch of, with all due respect, Trayce Jackson Davises or Quentin Posts, who we've seen the Warriors have to acquire and lock into contracts because they need someone to fill out that roster spot. And as we've seen, Trayce Jackson Davis had a really good rookie season for a rookie, and now he's regressing, and I don't know how good he's going to be. Quentin Post, we haven't seen play at all. Like, I would prefer that those guys that help fill out your roster are more of the Pajemski type, which they might be good, they might not be, but they can help you, as opposed to guys that are literally just on the roster to be on the roster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I do hear you, and that's...
Especially if you're going to run 12 or 13 deep, you're going to need options. And yeah.
Well, that was kind of like, that's what kind of, in for me, part of one of the reasons it derailed the Jimmy Butler trade. And we haven't even mentioned him yet, which is crazy because we used to love mentioning this guy every 6.5 minutes here at this station as a trade. But Giannis, another option. I feel like the Giannis trade probably isn't happening anymore.
No.
But any of those trades, yeah, that's where, because I'm not gutting the back half of this roster to beef up the top half, because I don't feel like that gets the Warriors to where they want to go, and it hurts. It might hurt them even more than it does help them.
Let's sneak in Mike in Santa Clara before we got to hit a break here. He's been hanging on patiently. Mike, what's going on? You want to talk about pods? How you doing?
Yeah. Good afternoon, guys, or good morning, I guess, still.
Good day.
Hope your Saturday is going well. Yeah, sure. Good day. You know, in regards to pods, you know, off of what Big Smooth was saying also, you know, I actually worry about the just the value of pods being traded. you know, his value is, in my opinion, has gone down just because he's having a, if you want to call it a sophomore slump or whatever. You know, I just feel like, you know, you kind of just need to hold off on it. The problem is it's a double-edged sword because we do need a backup point guard to actually be able to run the offense when Steph isn't out there and even take some pressure off of Steph from being the, like the, you know, the true point guard. So I just, again, my concern is the value. And obviously it goes with like, you know, the money value and just like evening out the scorecard on it to get it done. But I just think, you know, it's one of those things, maybe you just wait on, see what happens with pods after this year. So that's all I wanted to say, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike. Yeah, I think we can use that to get into a conversation on the other side. We got one more segment coming up when we return on Warriors this week. Sam Lubman in for Dan DeBone alongside Evan Giddings. Again, taking your calls, your text, 888-957-9570 is the number. Thank you, Mike. We'll use that to jump off on the other side when we return on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, he's back, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you didn't think you were going to get Klay Thompson at home twice in 1 year, but you actually get him in just about two times less than a month. I think November 12th was Klay's return.
Lucky us.
And like Steve Kerr said, no captain's hats tomorrow.
Yeah, we're not leaning into it as much this time here at the station. If we want to peel the curtain back a little bit, that the week or two leading up to Klay Thompson's return, there were a lot of meetings about making sure we had a lot of stuff ready to go for that one. And I thought we nailed Klay Day on his return to Chase Center in his first time here. But yeah, much less fanfare this time around. But still got one of the Captain Klay hats here in the studio. I'll put it on for now. Have some fun with it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. The Klay return. I love Klay Thompson. I don't know. It doesn't. Doesn't really do much for me. I mean, the game itself was probably the most electric atmosphere that I've maybe ever seen Chase Center, definitely in a regular season game, but maybe even outside of like the NBA Finals. Everyone was into that game. Everyone was in their seats right before tip-off. It was really, really cool. But I don't think that you can ever recreate that.
Oh, no, the first time is always the big one. That's because after that, then it's like now it's just time for business. But I felt that night it went perfectly, I think, for both sides. Klay had a big night that kind of reminded everybody, you know, hey, you know, I was really good when I was here, but the Warriors still won. Like, my big worry that night was just Klay would just have some awful game and the rhetoric around would be like, see, that's why we moved off of him. And I mean, Klay is, I've always loved Klay. He's always been a favorite of mine. He's just the ultimate cool is what Klay was. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I wish the Warriors held on to him. I mean, like, I wish he could have stayed a Warrior for his career, but, you know, I'm not going to act naive and act like the stuff going on behind the scenes wasn't happening. It was at a point where Klay had to move on. It just, the string was played out, and sometimes that just happens in life, and it's very unfortunate that it did go down that way. I wish it didn't go down that way, and you know, I hope Klay finds success with the Mavericks. I really do. I'll always be rooting for him. And I hate how things came kind of crashing down to an end for him last year, culminating with that 0-for-10 in the play-in against the Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has found success. They're 16-9. And although they've won with him, they've won without him. But Klay Thompson appears to be in a better place for him. I think, honestly, I don't know, the Warriors have won only 3 games in their last 10, but I still think they're also in a mutually better place as a result. Again, they'll tip off tomorrow, 5:30, 4:30, Warriors live with Mark Grandy, pregame, postgame, all right here, along with Tim Roy, the play-by-play action on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to Matt in Oakland. 888-957-9570 is the number. Matt in Oakland, what's going on, man? How's your day?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good.
I'm good, Matt. How about you?
On the Klay thing really quick, I don't see in a situation where that would have worked out. I mean, if they could have signed him for, you know, I don't know, between 15 and 20, and he accepted a role as a power forward off the bench, playing 20 yeah. minutes, I would have gone for that, but that was never going to happen.
No, I absolutely agree with you, Matt. I'm not saying I wait, like, I wish he could have been a Warrior, but like in order for that to have happened, a lot of things would have had to transpire very, very differently. It's a shame that it came to that. That's my overall point with Klay. It's a shame that the events, the dominoes that fell in the order that they did to kind of create the situation where Klay had to move on.
Yeah, I understand that. Getting back to the Warriors, right now they're slightly better off. I think they're slightly above a play-in team or maybe the high-end play-in, but they really need to do something. And I do think that they, unlike the fans, realize that Curry and Klay just are not the same players any longer. So the things that I've heard that I liked, I think Schroeder's not a bad idea. I mean, I would like to replace Melton, you know, like a two-way two guard, but I don't think that's out there. And I think you could get Schroeder without selling the farm. The other player I would try for would be either Vukovic or Olynyk possibly, or even Valanciunas if you could get somebody like that, either a big man who can protect the rim, score a little bit, or, you know, a true floor spreader like those other two guys. But even with that, their ceiling is losing in the Western Conference Finals, I think, and that's okay. We've had four rings. You know, Kerr is fantastic. Fans are idiots for thinking he's not. I mean, Casey Stengel won, what, seven rings with the Yankees, and then he went to the Mets, and all of a sudden he got dumb, and they lost 120 games. So it really is about who you have. I like the new coaching staff. You know, get those two guys, if you didn't have to sell the farm, that would not be too bad. And, you know, as far as Pods and TJD go, considering where they were drafted, I mean, those were great picks. They really were. Maybe they'll become rotation players, but none of those guys are off the table. I would say for the trades I was talking about, Kuminga, he would be off the table. But Cam Johnson, forget it. He's not that much better than Kuminga. And he would just cost too much. So that's what I think. Looking forward to tomorrow. And you guys have a great holiday.
Thanks, Matt. A lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
No, I mean, okay, so the hypotheticals he's talking about, and there was a report that the Warriors, look, they have interest in Schroeder, obviously. I think the trade that I've seen is a first-round pick and De'Anthony Melton's expiring for Schroeder. The other player you mentioned was Vucevic, who is, I think, 34, maybe 35 years old, but he's having a really good season in Chicago. And the hypothetical trade that I've seen for him would be Melton, Looney, and the 2025 first-round pick from the Warriors for Vucevic. Do either of those interest you, Sam?
The
thing about it is if you pick a trade, Melton's going in that deal. So yeah. You can't use him to go get multiple guys.
Yeah, no, I think I think we can all accept that De'Anthony Melton, it's a shame what happened there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is probably option number one to be traded there. A Schroeder for Melton, straight up swap, I'll do that. Obviously, you got to do the draft pick. If I had to give up a draft pick, I know, Evan, you said you didn't want to give up a first. Ideally, I would not like to give up a first. I would part with the 2025 first rounder, just because that's probably going to be a high enough pick that you won't hurt you for the future long term. I definitely don't want to give up that, you know, the 2029, 2030, or 2031 first rounders that the Warriors have down the line that they're going to need to, you know, draft some kid who's in eighth grade right now. So definitely need that. I would do that probably. Vucevic, though, I don't know if I want to part with Kevon Looney, to be honest. We brought him up in that Zion trade. It kind of made sense there. But Looney, he's just been such a dynamic asset for the Warriors his entire career. You know, it's just, he is one of the, I don't want to say unsung hero, but he's been a big part of three of the Warriors' four titles. He has been we called him Windex. You know, shout out Schleproff for coming up with that nickname because he's cleaning the boards. You know, Evan, I'll always remember being at that game six against the Grizzlies a couple years ago. We put on that unreal performance, pulling down 20 rebounds. Like, he is such a massive cog to the Warriors' success that the idea of parting with him, especially with the season he's having this year, because remember last year he came into the season out of shape. You know, they had that long off. They had that, you know, off season. They were traveling. I think they went to Japan last year, right? That kind of threw off his preseason a little bit. And when you come into the season out of shape and you're using the regular season to play yourself into shape, you're going to be behind the eight ball all year long. You're playing catch up every single night, and it's incredibly hard to do that. And you saw it this year. He is in probably the best shape he's been in a very, very long time. He's playing the best ball that we've seen him play in a few years. I have a very, very hard time parting with that for a non-elite level player. So between those two, this is a long-winded answer, way of saying I would take the Schroeder trade there over the Vucevic trade.
Yeah, I wouldn't. And I know where Schroeder helps you, but the thing is, and you're right, like the 2025 pick in all probability is not going to be a great pick. But even in this last draft, we've seen players that can step in and help a team in the immediate. Jared McCain has been a sensation in Philadelphia. He was the 16th pick. Right after him, Dalton Knecht was taken at 17 by the Lakers. Yves Miesi is a center who now is getting a lot of run for the Pelicans due to their injuries. He looks like a player that's going to help them. I mean, Daron Holmes with the Phoenix Suns is a guy that's playing. Ryan Dunn, actually, I think, is the guy that's playing the most with Phoenix. He's started 9 games this year. They're not all perfect players, and they're rookies, right? But they can help you. And again, they're cheap labor, which the Warriors are going to need increasingly more of. I'm not willing to give up future first-round picks for players that are not going to be here on the team beyond the season.
Yeah,
and even some that are going to be here, because like Schroeder, again, he comes off the books. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze. And then Vucevic is a player that's under contract. But to me, I think the idea of him is what we fell in love with Markkanen, which is a stretch five, some guy that can shoot, but. I don't think he really fits. I don't know. And this is from the 19-5. Yeah, what's the difference between Vucevic and the Utah star we wanted? Vucevic is perfect. I don't know. I'm reluctant. And so I think the Warriors right now are in wait-and-see mode. And to me, it's about capital, but I think they really... What I would love to see the Warriors do on Sunday, next Thursday against Memphis, against Dallas and... The Grizzlies, two really good teams, is if the Warriors are in a similar situation where they're playing hard, they're down the stretch, I do think they have to continue to experiment with those late game scenarios, and it has to go through someone like Jonathan Kuminga, because I think their biggest issue right now is everyone, and it understandably so, is really deferential to Curry. And Curry, at his advanced age... It isn't a guy that can get his shot off whenever he wants anymore, or when he does, it's early in the shot clock, and it's at an inopportune time. So Curry's still incredible, but unless you can go get a player that's better than him, which I don't see out there, I'm not willing to mortgage my future. I'm sorry.
I respect that thinking. And there was another name that Matt said that I kind of like a lot. Maybe I like him more than a lot of other people, but it's Jonas Valanciunas with Washington right now. He is one of those guys. He is part of that 90% that, you know, at midnight tonight, he is eligible to be traded. He's got about $9 million on the books this year. He's got 2 years left on his deal after this season. I would be down to do that, just get a little bit more, get another big man on this team. You could probably do that. If you want to do it money-wise, maybe it's GP2 is the one you switch out there. If you're so inclined to do so, probably D'Anthony Melton would also probably be a more plausible option actually in that situation. But ever since that play-in game against the Grizzlies back in 2021, where Valanciunas was just such a nightmare for the Warriors in that game, I've just been enamored with the guy. I would love to have him on this team, but it's been a few years now. I don't know if you're getting the exact same Valanciunas that, because I believe he is 32 right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Valanciunas, actually, I'm right there with you. I think that's a guy that's cheap enough. I think the reason why the Wizards signed him to a 3-for-30 deal is specifically to trade him.
Yeah.
So that is a guy that I could see.
He's not helping him out right now because the Wizards are...
Well, the Wizards stink.
The Wizards are at least 4 years away from being 4 years away. Like, they are lost in the wilderness right now.
But the issue with the Wizards is if you do business with them, they might want you to take someone like Kyle Kuzma's contract. And that's not a player that I want to be associated with.
No.
So Valanciunas, I think, to me, he's a cheap option that isn't going to cost you maybe even a first-round pick. Vucevic will, Schroeder will, Cameron Johnson certainly will. To me, if I don't know how the Warriors would be able to pull it off, but again, I said this at the beginning of the show, and I guess it's kind of where I stand at the end of it as well. If Jonathan Kuminga is involved in any of these deals, it's got to be for a player that is at an equal or higher level than Curry. I don't think there's one out there.
I don't think they sync up there.
And so I would be more inclined, again, at this point, to see what you have with JK. I'm closer to leaning towards giving him the contract as opposed to trading him, because we're finally beginning to see the benefits. He's 22 years of age, and the Warriors are also now desperate enough, and he's capable enough to help them in late game spots. I think the biggest hurdle that they have to jump over is Curry being willing to trust Kuminga in those situations, as opposed to trying to do it all by himself. And Kerr, I think, also has to be willing to trust someone like Kuminga in those spots, as opposed to just dumping it to Curry. And he said that Curry and Draymond, that pick and roll combination, has won us championships. Well, unless you believe it can still win you championships, you got to do something else. And that's where the experimentation, in my opinion, needs to take another step. I think they really need to give this kid even more extended run. And they have, because he's into the starting lineup. But I need to see them lean more into that before I'm willing to trade him for somebody that's probably an ancillary piece.
Absolutely. No, again, we're five games into this, and the trade deadline is until February. So there's absolutely a ton of time for this all to come together. I can't imagine there's going to be a huge rush for guys like Valanciunas, at least I hope not for this sake. But yeah, I think they are in a situation where right now the smartest thing the Warriors could probably do is keep kind of just stay in the course right here. I mean, when's the last time we've had this team fully healthy, too? That's also been a while. You know, Wiggins is out at one point, or Moody's out for a day, or Kuminga's out for a day. Let's get this team as healthy as they possibly can, see how they operate, you know, in this month of January, because December's been kind of a brutal slate for them schedule-wise, you know, but in January, you know, you pull up the schedule here in a little bit and see how, you know, much easier it really kind of gets for them. But I think right now, yeah, Evan, this is the most exciting thing to say, but right now the current situation is let's see what they have. There's certainly options out there that they can jump into. As far as the major superstar move, I'm not seeing it right now. Improving around the edges, because that's the thing, like, with the Valanciunas trade, as much as I do think that would help the Warriors, if the goal is to bring someone, another scorer in, another shooter in, to kind of help create more space around Steph, around JK, Valanciunas isn't really going to do that. So,
no, I mean, there are cheaper shooters that you can go get. Like, I mean, Malik Beasley is someone that is a 40% three-point shooter that you can try and acquire. I think it's Bogdan Bogdanovic, not Boyan, the player from the Hawks, but Bogdan, who hasn't played a game or maybe played a couple of games with the Knicks. He's like a 35-year-old stretch four. He'd be like a Bielitsa. You know, like, there are cheap shooters that you can go out and get. I'm just not really sure where they fit and how it helps you, because the Warriors kind of have a ton of specialists, including shooters, but they need players that can do everything. I think that's why the rotations are always a question. It's like, well, why is this guy in? He can play defense, but he can't shoot. Well, or he can shoot, but he can't play defense.
Yeah, he's playing the match. Kerr's playing the matchups in those situations. And when you're playing the matchups, yeah, you're going to have, there's probably going to be gaps every now and then in those situations. So,
well, yeah, but you also got to be able to score the basketball. Like, yeah. they have failed to crack 100, I want to say, like, four times in the last 10 games. And that's a problem. In 2024, you got to be able to score 100 points. And yeah. I don't care how good your defense is. Games like Wednesday against the Rockets, in my opinion, are not going to happen that often. To me, that's as much about the Rockets' ineptitude offensively as it is about the Warriors' defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, you're right. It's been three of the last four, they failed to score 100. Five times this year, they failed to score 100. They are... So
the first 15 games, I think it only happened once.
Yeah, five times they failed to score 100. They're 1-4 in those games. One of those wins was against the Rockets. So, yeah, there are options out there. It'd be interesting to see what they do. But I think right now, for the time being, it's let's just see better performances. I think Big Smooth kind of had the simplest answer. Just play a little bit better. The turnover thing, I stopped banging on the table about the turnovers a long time ago because I just accepted that's part of Steph's game. The problem, though, is in the past, they always had enough scoring talent to offset those turnovers. Now that in the last few years, they don't have that scoring talent as much to offset these turnovers. So smarter basketball there is absolutely going to be a key. And this is, where Steve Kerr's going to have to step up and, you know, do his Steve Kerr magic there to kind of piece these rotations together on a night-by-night basis until something more consistent presents itself.
Well, the turnover issues, I think, are something when, like, the Warriors' system is predicated on motion. So anytime you pass the ball a lot, you're going to have more turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
There's an issue when you're not moving the ball as much and you're still turning it over. Like, again, down the stretch of Houston, it wasn't like they were running a bunch of intricate sets. There wasn't it was get Curry the ball, let him cook, or bring a pick, and you still turn the ball over. You had 24-second shot clock violations. Draymond threw it into the stanchion. That's a problem. When you can't initiate your offense, when you're turning the ball over and it doesn't demand more than one pass, well, then there is an issue. But I largely I don't think the Warriors, their turnovers haven't been an issue to me. It's because, like, if you turn the ball over 18 times a game, but you have 30 assists, that makes a lot of sense because you're clearly passing the ball.
Yeah.
But if you only have 15 assists or 20 assists, and you still have 18 turnovers, then we got a problem.
Then, yeah.
And that's where they're kind of, I don't know, struggling to me is in the half court when they have to get a quality look, they either turn it over or they can't seem to do it. And so that's why I would, again, prefer in a kind of a desperate manner, obviously, but they have to empower some of the more one-on-one players. I think Wiggins is one of those guys, and he wasn't available on Wednesday. He would have really helped.
Yeah.
Kuminga's another one of those guys. And so I'm curious to see how they, on Sunday, if Wiggins is available, I think he's still questionable, but what they do in that late game kind of scenario.
No, I agree with that too. That's, they got to figure out these late games. That's going to be, if I feel like it's kind of hard to, I don't know if to say it's kind of hard to make that trade until you figure out these late games, but it's, if they're still trying to figure out these late game situations before they make a trade, I feel like the issues maybe are going a little bit deeper there at that point.
Yeah. And again, it's not easy for Curry. Again, he doesn't have many people to take pressure off of him. You know, it's like you're going to see a Dallas Mavericks team on Sunday that has two closers. They got Kyrie, they got Luka. Mm-hmm. Phoenix has got Durant, they got Booker. Denver has got Jokic, obviously, but even Jamal Murray has been a proven closer in
Warriors
the postseason.
Really, yeah, no, I see where you're going.
OKC's got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams, and if he's healthy, Chet Holmgren. Minnesota's got Anthony Edwards. He doesn't have a ton of help around him, but it's like,
it seems like the acquisition the Warriors need to make is just they need to trade for they need Kuminga to be that closer. I feel like that's the acquisition. It's not an acquisition in that situation. It is, if Kuminga becomes that guy, it changes the situation so much for the Warriors in terms of what moves they can make.
Well, Kuminga either needs to be that player, and I think that it's a bit, again, it's unfair. Like, he's 22 years old, and this is really the first season where I think that he feels like he's been empowered.
Yeah.
Because even though he started a lot last year, the rug pulled out from under him when Wiggins came back and they went to a smaller lineup, or a bigger lineup. But this year, he either needs to be that player in the next couple of months, or they need to use him to go get that player.
See, I would, before we get out of here, I would just push back on the whole unfair thing, because I think this is exactly what they should be asking of Kuminga. I mean, last year, you know, last couple of years, he's been kind of, you know, he's been going around and basically kind of whining that he wants, whining's maybe a strong term.
Well, but he hasn't, his camp has.
Yeah, the desire from Kuminga and his camp is that he wants more. He's finally getting that more. So I don't know if it's unfair to ask for this. This is more like, all right, JK, you want to be that guy? Like, we're going to put more on your plate now because you say you can handle it. And I'll say right now, I believe in Jonathan Kuminga. I think he can handle the pressure that the Warriors are going to be putting on him at age 22. And I think as he masters it this year, we'll start seeing him continue to climb up that ladder, that, you know, to the successful player that I think he could be in his career.
Well, in the meantime, we'll continue to watch, and we'll be right back here, same time, same place, 9 to noon on Warriors This Week. Sam, thank you so much for jumping on. It's been a fun 3 hours, my man.
Yeah,
oh, you already took
fun.
The headphones off? What? You got to get out of here?
I like to do that when we start to wrap things up, because it keeps me from jumping in and extending the segment into the break. So.
Oh, no, we're all good, man. That's big true. Thank you to Steve Rizzotto. Big thank you to Cameron Williams. You're locking it down for us behind the glass. Big thank you to Sam Lubman in for Dan DeVone. He'll be back next week alongside myself, Evan Giddings. A big thank you to everybody that's chimed in, that's called in, that's brought us some fantastic nuggets on the Comcast Business Text Line. We are always, as always, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We'll talk to you same place, same time next week in your home for Golden State Warriors basketball, 95.7 The Game.